Being very wise. Translation. Sri Vidura inquired, "My dear Brahmana, the abode of the Lord is very difficult to attain. It can be attained only by a pure devotional service, which alone pleases the most affectionate, merciful Lord. Dhruva Maharaj achieved this position even in one life, and he was very wise and conscientious. Why then was he not very pleased?" Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Saint Vidura's inquiry is very relevant. The word artavit, which refers to one who knows how to discriminate between reality and unreality, is very significant in this connection. An artavit is also called paramahamsa. A paramahamsa accepts only the active principle of everything, just as a swan accepts only the milk from a mixture of water and milk. A paramahamsa accepts only the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his life and soul, neglecting all external material things. Dhruva Maharaj was in this category, and due to his determination, he achieved the result he desired, but still when he returned home, he was not very pleased. Vidura-vacha, sadurlabham yat paramam param harir maya vinas tach charanar chanarjitam labdvapya siddhartha yivaika janmana katam svamatmanam amanyatartavit amaganatvanandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshun mutam jena tasmai shigarvimam. To attain the paramparam, the highest perfection, or the ultimate abode of the Lord, requires that one engage in pure devotional service to Krishna. Samashita ye para pallava plavam mahapadam punya yasho marade bhavam bodhir vatsapadam param padam padamapadam yadvi padam natesha. By taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, just like a boat, by taking shelter of the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, then the ocean of material existence shrinks up into the amount of water that can be contained in the hoof of a calf's print. When calves run in the fields during the rainy season, the ground is soft, so they make a little impression. And then when it rains, some water is in the hoof print, but that is not very difficult to cross over. Anyone can jump over. And similarly, for one who has taken shelter at the lotus feet of Mukunda or Murari, the killer of the Mura demon, then it becomes very easy to get liberation from this material world. What does it mean to get liberation from this material world? It means, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, janma karma chame divyam evam yoviti tatvata chaktvadeham punar janma naiti maameti sorjana. Says that upon giving up this body, one who is liberated will not have to take his birth again in this material world. Chakvadeham punar janma naiti. No more birth. He won't have to come back again to this material world. But mameti, he comes to me. Now this is Krishna's promise for one who engages in exclusive devotional service to him. Therefore the wise, the intelligent persons, Artavit, one who knows the ultimate goal, Arta, or the Arta means value, and Vit means one who knows. So he knows the value, he knows the essence, Artavit. He's called a Paramahamsa, because the swan knows the essence is the milk and leaves behind the water. Similarly, the Paramahamsa, devotee of the Lord, leaves behind everything in this material world. He gives up his attachment. What does that mean? Yes, he gives up his attachment to society, friendship, love, universe, fame, fortune, so-called education, everything. He becomes detached. Shaktva. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they are the wonderful example. Chakva Turnama Shesha Mandala Pati Shrenim Sada Tuchava Bhutva Dina Ganesha Kov Karunaya Kopina Kopina Kantashuto Gopi Bhava Rasamrita Dilahari Kalola Magna Mahur Vande Rupa Sanatano Raghu Jago Shri Jiva Gopal. These six Goswamis were all from very aristocratic families and situations, but they renounced it all. And they accepted simply loincloths. It's all they had. No other wealth. Loincloths. And they slept under a different tree every night, and they presented themselves as mendicants. So does it mean that they lost? Does it mean that they were unfortunate? That they made a mistake? They had so much wealth, I should have kept it. That's what the materialists would say. Oh, those poor fools. They were so wealthy and they gave it up. But what did they get in return? For giving up all that so-called artha. Dharma artha. Artha means also economic development in the material sense. But they gave it all up. They were ministers and zamindars, very highly established aristocracy, family, and gave it all up. Why? Gopi bhava rasamrita dila hari kalola magna mahur, so that they could bathe in the ocean of the gopis' love for Krishna. In order to approach Krishna or Radha Krishna, one has to be free from all attachments to this material world. As long as one is still attached to these things, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhogai Svarya Prasaktanam Taya Parita Chetasam Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Samadho Nivatiyate. For one who is too much attached to material enjoyment and material opulences, the resolute determination of devotional service does not take place in his mind. He can't fix his mind on Krishna. He's always thinking, but what about that? If I could get this car, if I could get that woman, if I could get that house, if I could get this job, on and on and on. There's no end. There's no limit. Sarvakama. Sarvakama means unlimited desires, this material world. Sometimes we're desiring to enjoy in the body of a human being. Sometimes we're desiring to enjoy in the body of an ant. Sometimes in the body of a demigod. There's no end. Well, for one who has such desires, then The cycle of birth and death, samsara, is his program. Birth after birth after birth, death after death, just revolving, no end. The only way to get out is to take the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, Murari. And that can be done by approaching his representative, because Prabhupada means one who's situated at the lotus feet of the Lord. And by approaching such a personality, one gets the shelter of Krishna. And engaging in devotional service. It's not that the transcendentalists or the bhaktas are simply interested in looking at the feet of the Lord. That is also there. That is one aspect of devotion, to admire and to appreciate the beauty of the lotus feet of the Lord. But more to serve the lotus feet, to assist seva. Well, this Dhruva Maharaj, as we'll find out, was a little disappointed, because he was, when he finally realized that the real goal was Vishnu, but then Vishnu gave him all kinds of opulences. Vishnu fulfilled his former desire. So he was feeling, oh, I didn't succeed. I wanted to give up everything now for serving the Lord. But now I've got all this opulence and I have this fame. What will I do? Maybe I'll become entangled. These are sentiments of a devotee. The devotee also has his own feelings. He's not insentient. He's not a robot. But the best position is to simply be dependent upon the mercy of the Lord. There are six principles of Sharanagati, or surrender, that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given us. To accept whatever is favorable for the discharge of devotional service. So, that means whatever happens, or whatever opportunities arise, we should think, is this favorable for the discharge of devotional service? Should I go here? Will it be good for my service? And when something is available, we should think, I must reject everything that's unfavorable for the discharge of devotional service. I may have certain opportunities, but if it's not favorable for my service, then I should reject it. Accepting, rejecting, then considering that the Lord is one's only shelter, only maintainer, to have no other interests outside the interests of the Lord, and to always keep oneself meek and humble. If we cultivate this in association with society of devotees, and gradually we'll become purified of our sinful desires, and then we'll become eligible to go back to home, back to Godhead. The heart becomes cleansed by engaging in devotional service. So, as pointed out here, that even in one lifetime, Dhruva Maharaj attained the Parampadam, the ultimate destination. This is Sudurlabham, a great accomplishment. That opportunity is still available. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made the process very easy, the science. One doesn't have to be born in a Brahmin family. One can be from any background. And as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mami Partha Vyapashitya Yepi Supapayonaya Striyo Vaishastastha Shudras Yepi Janti Paramgatim. Doesn't matter whether one is in a lower birth, is in a body that is generally conditioned to be inclined towards sense gratification. Doesn't matter. If one engages in devotional service under the direction of the spiritual master, then he can attain perfection in this one lifetime. So that is this movement. It is a very important movement. Everyone should dedicate themselves completely to this movement. Means practicing Krishna consciousness, the bhakti yoga system, and then teaching others, achar and prachar. These two things should go together. Are there any questions? Like chanting, for example. Yes, even if we don't chant purely, it's better to chant than not to chant. Yes, that's true. And even if I'm not such a very learned person or very intelligent, it's better to try to hear and understand than to not do so at all, to not even hear. And it's better to clean the floor, and even if I clean the floor not very well, at least if I've tried. Yes, a little, something is better than nothing. Even a little, Krishna says, Neha bikramanasho sti pativayana vijate svapamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahatoba. Even a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. If we make a little effort towards pleasing Krishna, then he will make a big effort towards... He wants us to come back much more than we want to come back. And anyway, what is the question of doing anything well? How can we do anything well? Look at us. We're so condemned, full of material desires. What is the question of doing something nice? So anything we do, it'll be badly. We should already accept that. That anything I try to do, it'll be bad. Without a doubt, there'll be so many faults. If someone asks me, so can you cook the offering? Yeah, if I cook the offering, I'm sure it'll be bad, but I'll try anyway. Okay. Because as soon as we think, oh, I did a great job, I cooked so nicely, or I gave such a nice class, then already we're contaminated. Just by thinking that I've done, I'm proud. As soon as I become proud, then it's already bad. Krishna doesn't like pride. Even Srimati Radharani, it said in the scriptures that once she was feeling proud that I'm with Krishna, he's taken me alone, he left all the other gopis, I'm the most fortunate, he likes me the most, immediately Krishna disappeared. Just to teach her a lesson. Don't be proud. So pride, lust, anger, envy, all these things are our constant companions. So with this kind of consciousness, how can we do anything well? But still Krishna is so kind and the spiritual master is so kind, they accept even these offerings. Thank you very much, Grantharaj.